This podcast is brought to you by the Howie Car Show Mother's Day Special. Go to HowieCarShow.com, click store, and get mom a Buy American, Support America Navy t-shirt. Best part? The shirt will come with a free book. You can get mom a shirt plus either a What Really Happened, a Kennedy Babylon 1, or a Kennedy Babylon 2. Go to HowieCarShow.com and click on store for this amazing deal.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
People are absolutely scared, but there are other people that are scared about being locked in a room and losing their job and not having any income.
No more Newsom! No more Newsom! No more Newsom! No more Newsom!
At some point, we have to open our country, and people are going to be safe. We've learned a lot. We've learned about the tremendous contagion. But we have no choice. We can't stay closed as a country. We're not going to have a country left.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
Some churches, they are literally staying in their car with the window closed. I guess it comes out through the radio, the service. And they were getting arrested.
And this is how it's going to be. We will shut you down. We will cite you. And if we need to, we will arrest you and we will take you to jail.
Your papers, please.
Don't make us treat you like a criminal.
Your papers are not in order.
Who's your captain? Howie Carr.
Seven high-risk sex offenders released from a California jail early amid the pandemic. One of them already rearrested this week for exposing himself to a parole officer.
This is a ruse that has been pulled on the American public. We've all been told that during the pandemic, we needed to release people early because of the underlying health pandemic. However, in Orange County, our jails now are down by 45% in terms of their capacity.
Unchained and unstoppable.
Everyone who, in fact, is found to have COVID
I apologize for not remembering.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
401 says Governor Charlie Parker said road fatalities doubled in April. Shouldn't we close all the roads? Absolutely. How about the murder hornets? Did you read about them over the weekend? Murder. We've got to shut down the entire country. We need a 10-year reopening plan. Nobody goes outside for nothing until we get rid of these murder hornets. If it saves just one life. Right? 207. I live in South Portland, Maine. Let's see. Saturday, I had some friends over for a campfire. The police came three times, 6, 7, and 11:30, because there were more than 10 people, 15, and we weren't maintaining 6 feet. A neighbor called it in all three times. It's an arrestable offense, according to the South Portland Police Department. See, this is the thing. You know, in East Germany, the Stasi, the secret police, had huge numbers of informers. Everybody wanted to be an informer, a rat. And you have all these Democrats. Again, Rasmussen did a poll. The Democrats were chomping at the bit, champing, whatever it is, to rat out their neighbors. They don't like people having a good time. And, you know, and most of the ones that are calling up, they don't have jobs. They don't care. They got trust funds or they're on welfare. So this is not a big deal to them. That you lost your job, they don't care. They got theirs, Jack. 844-500-4242. Officer Mark says in New Hampshire there is no radio call for a picnic. I'm guessing the tattletales would insist on a 1044 suspicious person / prowler, or maybe a 1059 intoxicated person. What about campfire? What's the number for campfire? All right, time now for the chump line.
I better put my mask on before I go close that barn door now that my horse got away.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, 6 weeks after the lockdown starts, and 5 days after he issues his ridiculous order, Charlie Baker makes it a $300 fineable offense not to wear a mask. Unless, of course, you just have a medical condition and they can't ask you for your papers. Achtung! Achtung! You will wear a mask per order for a Baker. We call him Barker Baker. Everyone must wear a Barker, Baker says.
Don't try and mess with me, coppers. I'm the emphysema kid.
That's right. I am. Finally, it comes in handy. Incipient emphysema. Those Pall Malls were starting to catch up with me. But now it comes in handy. But I stop. Even if I stopped, it's still there. I got it in black and white. Not that I need it. It's the honor system. The Chump Line is brought to you by Matthews Brothers, America's oldest window manufacturer. During these difficult times, we notice that these difficult times are made even more difficult by every message, starting off with the reminder that these are difficult times, just in case some of us are not paying attention or maybe forgot, because after all, these are difficult times. And to which I would add, we're all in this together, unless, of course, you're the governor or the mayor, in which case you can do whatever the hell you still please, because that's what it's all about in a totalitarian state.
Here's a message for Governor Faker. Take off the mask and kiss my non-essential ass.
Again, I repeat, a woman, I don't know about a man, but a woman has more to worry about on a commercial airline flight from Governor Charlie Parker's son than she has to worry about from being infected with coronavirus.
Hi, this is Charlie Baker. Come Wednesday, all people in Massachusetts will be required to wear a mask. My son, Gropey Baker, will be required to wear a mask and a straitjacket so we can no longer assault women on airplanes.
A straitjacket. That's an excellent suggestion. Maybe members of the Kennedy family should be required to wear straitjackets too. Most of them are deceased that molested women, a la Gropey Baker's charged son. That's what he's charged with anyway. Taylor, how long has it been since I asked the state police to turn over their notes about the lugging of Charlie Baker's son? It was about 7 weeks ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's been, I would say, 5 or 6, yeah.
Yeah. I guess, you know, it's like the FBI trying to give those notes over about how they framed General Flynn. They're dragging their feet more than somewhat. In this case of the state police, they're dragging their jackboots.
Can I get me a mask-wearing exemption form here?
If they ask you for one, just all you need is remember the word HIPAA. HIPAA. It's not a word, it's an acronym, but it'll suffice in a pinch.
Hey, Howie. Governor Patrick calling. There you go again, whining about the Palm Beach curfew. A 9 p.m. curfew doesn't matter, considering you and your fellow beautiful people geezers are in bed by 7:30. We're going to be fine.
I was out yesterday, because I live on the Intercoastal Waterway, when suddenly a flotilla of boats honking their horns and going very fast came by, heading south towards Mar-a-Lago from Jupiter Inlet. It was the Trumptilla. It was so exciting. All the freedom-loving boats heading for the president's lakeside resort. I felt like I said to one of my neighbors, I said, this is what it must be like at Dunkirk, you know, trapped by Nazis, and all of a sudden a freedom-loving flotilla arrives.
Did you go yacht shopping before the show today?
I'm not a yacht guy. I'm not even a yacht guy in the way the New York Times described Marco Rubio's little fishing boat. They described it as a yacht because they wanted to make him look like a rich bastard.
Hey, Howie, I have a pre-existing condition. I'm a right-wing conservative Christian, and I hate Baker.
Yes. 508 says that Gropey Baker should be required to wear not only a mask, but also oven mitts, which might protect a few women.
Joe Biden, a man from the analog age, now living in a digital world.
That's one way to put it. I'm not sure he knows what the meaning of analog or digital is at this point, if he ever did.
Dear God, please let me live long enough to see Donald Trump debate this guy. It's going to be Mike Tyson versus Elton John.
You know what that thing was last night that he did at the Lincoln Memorial? That was a warm-up for the town halls that are coming up. You know, he was rehearsing lines. I was thinking about that, you know, right before the St. Louis town hall debate, he did one at, I think it was in Sandown, New Hampshire. I was the moderator. Corey Lewandowski and I went over the notes, and he had Chris Christie with him, the governor who'd done well in the town halls during the primary season, to critique him afterwards. And I'm sure he was doing the same thing last night afterwards. They were all telling him where he'd done well, where he hadn't done well. He's his own best critic, obviously. But my only critique would be, stop talking about how there would have been 2 million dead. Just say, they told us there would have been 2 million dead. I mean, that's more accurate. I mean, in retrospect, there was never a chance in hell that we're going to be 2 million dead. There's 400,000 dead worldwide. Go ahead.
Well, there's the sign that this social isolation is ending. Apparently, they're taking Ruth Bader Ginsburg out of Nancy Pelosi's freezer for reanimation.
Well, this is very convenient for Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Now they're having these conference calls for oral arguments before the Supreme Court. So she never has to thaw out to go to the building.
Howie, what's with the ages of our Democratic leadership? For example, Steny Hoyer's high school graduation picture was found painted on a cave wall in southern France.
People don't realize that. Steny Hoyer is about 83. I think Clyburn is 80, or he soon will be. Nancy Pelosi turned 80 in March. They're rather aged, but not as aged as Dianne Feinstein. She's 86.
That was your last Chump Line message. Thank you for calling Howie Carr, you chump.
All right, that's it for the Chump Line today. The Chump Line is the recorded voicemail message service of the Howie Carr Show. You can call and leave a message at any hour of the day or night, including weekends. The Chump Line number, if you'd like to leave such a message, 844-500-4242, 844-500-4242. Press 2 for the Chump Line. Leave your message. We may or may not play it at this time each weekday. And at 7 o'clock every evening, we post Chopped Chumps, the chump messages that didn't make it on the broadcast just now. And you can listen to them wherever you get your Howie Carr podcast, Chopped Chumps. They're posted every evening right after the broadcast show ends. The Chump Line is brought to you by Matthews Brothers, America's oldest window manufacturer. During these difficult times, we notice that these difficult times are made even more difficult by every message starting off with the reminder that these are difficult times, just in case some of us are not paying attention or maybe forgot, because after all, these are difficult times.
Here's a message for Governor Faker. Take off the mask and kiss my non-essential ass.
Someone says 857 went to the rally today. This was at the State House. And my favorite sign was, Governor Parker, kiss my mask. That is a good sign. I'm Howie Carr.
A nightmare to liberals everywhere. He's
Howie Carr.
This is Lynn in sunny Las Vegas.
This is Dan from the Moonbat capital of Jamaica Plain.
This is Gigi in Leominster, Massachusetts, and this is the Howie Carr Show.
The former Vice President Joe Biden pushes back against that. He tweeted just the other day, we left a playbook. He ignored it. We created an office to prepare for pandemics. He gutted it. We had CDC officials in China to detect and contain the outbreaks. He pulled them out. Trump can try and shift blame all he wants, but the fact is his actions left us unprepared.
First of all, Joe Biden didn't write that. That was written from a young man that got very good grades at a very good school. That was not written by him. I promise you that.
No one wants to take that bet, Mr. President. This Mother's Day, 1-800-Flowers has limited delivery, so you need to lock in your order today. When you order a dozen sorbet roses, you'll get an extra six plus a vase for only $39.99. That's a great deal. To order, go to 1-800-Flowers.com, click the radio icon, and enter code Howie. Taylor, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
Do you believe Joe Biden once told a 14-year-old girl she was well-endowed?
I absolutely do, yes.
95% say yes.
And her aunt backs her up on it, too, by the way. There is good news out there. Sustainability is the first thing to go. That was a column over the weekend in the Wall Street Journal. You know, sustainability. You know, like bringing in those nasty cloth bags. That's out the window, right? And so they interview some woman who was the chief executive officer of one of these jive companies, package free. And she says that when the lockdown started, I sacrificed my values and bought items in plastic, lots of it. I have many values, and sometimes as circumstances change, one of those values may take priority over another. Yeah, right. Like keeping your business going, or maybe staying alive if you really believe that you were in danger. Companies are making their own cuts in sustainability in response to the downturn. Unilever PLC suspended a number of its change initiatives that tackle complex social and environmental problems. General Motors killed its car sharing program. Ford Motor Company canceled an electric car project and postponed autonomous vehicles. Starbucks has paused the practice of filling reusable cups. Oh, isn't that sad? If you've lost your job, this is the woman that runs the sustainability company, or did. If you've lost your job, you're not thinking about sustainability. The average consumer does not have the resources to shop in a way that always protects the environment, especially if they're one of the 30 million who've been laid off in the panic. All right. Arthur, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Arthur.
Well, you know, the thing about the Democrats and the Me Too movement is if it's a very Republican, it's Me Too, and that's why they started the Me Too, because of Donald Trump and those remarks he made and all these bimbos they
right.
brought out. And 3 days into his presidency, there's a big march by women. But all they did is they brought out all the Democratic scumbags that brought
right.
it all the way. All of a sudden, that was the end of the Democrats. So if you're a Democrat, it's Me Too. And if it's a Democrat, it's Me Who.
Now, well, I'll tell you more about Harvard and Jeffrey Epstein when we come back. I'm Howie Carr.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
844-500-4242. You know, Charlie Baker is not the only Republican governor who has grown to relish oppressing his constituents. Down in Maryland, there's a guy named Larry Hogan, and he too is issuing these draconian orders, locking in the residents of the state of Maryland. They have a they call their House of Representatives the House of Delegates, and one of the delegates, a Republican, claims he was threatened by the governor's staff with arrest if he exercised his First Amendment rights on Saturday at a rally to reopen the state. Joining us now on the line is that delegate, Dan Cox. Dan, thanks for being with us here on the Howie Carr Show.
Hey, thank you, Howie. It's a great honor. Appreciate the opportunity.
So tell us what happened here. And tell us there was a rally planned for Maryland on Saturday, correct? And start the story there and tell us what happened.
Sure. Well, it's called Reopen Maryland. There's 22,000 in just about a week's time that have joined the group, about a week and a half. And just to set the record straight, I'm not saying that the governor's staff themselves directly threatened me, but what happened was I was scheduled to kick the event off. It's across the state event starting in my county. And I was supposed to keynote to start, and then Congressman Andy Harris, our sole Republican congressman in Maryland, was going to finish it in Salisbury, which he represents the Eastern Shore up through Baltimore County. And I was given a call. I received a call about a day before or so, Friday, and actually got an email that Thursday saying, give the law enforcement person a call, someone I know, senior law enforcement. And so I talked to him on Friday, and he said, don't go speak, because there's some talk. Certain individuals are talking about arresting people, particularly you. And he said this, that was chilling to me. He said, you know you are in the governor's sights, don't you? And I think this was referring to the fact that I had publicly, after privately for over a month, trying to work out some of these draconian orders for constituents, I had publicly written a letter to the governor asking him to relax some of these restrictions. And at the end of the day, I was told not to go, that I could be arrested. So I followed up with the governor's staff directly in writing saying, if I speak at this rally, will I be arrested? And the response was that they referred me to the governor's order March 17th, which says large gatherings are prohibited under penalty of 1 year in jail and $5,000 fine. So I took that as an inference of a threat to arrest, and I did not go. Instead, we filed a lawsuit on behalf of 18 plaintiffs, and in fact, the governor's police were actually allegedly pulling people in the caravan over and ticketing them. Not sure all the charges yet, but it's not good. It's not good at all.
So they basically did threaten you then. I mean, not the governor himself didn't call you up and say, I'm going to arrest you, delegate, but they basically let you know that you were going to get, you might get cuffed.
Absolutely, because I directly asked in writing the governor, will I be arrested if I speak at this rally? And the response from his chief counsel and senior advisor was to refer me to his edict of March 17th that says it's a one-year jail penalty and $5,000 fine if I participate in a large gathering. So that is an inference of a threat to arrest me, and it's very clear. It was clear to me, and I tell you what, I had two choices. I could go and try to be one of these guys who just defies it and risk getting arrested, or I could do what I felt that the Attorney General had suggested, and that was to file a suit, a declaratory action, asking the federal court to review whether or not my civil rights and the rights of others have been violated.
So you filed you're among 18 people filing a federal lawsuit today challenging the constitutionality of the stay-at-home order.
That's correct. And these orders are overreaching. The statute and the Constitution is clear. The statute does not give power to any authority, the governor or anyone else, to lock us in our homes if we're healthy. In fact, even if you're sick under the statute, if you're quarantined because you have a pandemic illness, you have to be given a three-day notice to be able to get a doctor and an opportunity to be heard in a circuit court. But yet here we are on day 60 of the emergency catastrophic health proclamation of Governor Hogan, day 34 of the lockdown in our homes. and no one's been given, we're all healthy, you know, no one's been given these rights and opportunities for due process. And, you know, it's very sad that we've had, you know, about 1,100 people, mostly nursing home, many nursing home individuals that did succumb in Maryland, but it's not something that's widespread. 99% of the public are completely fine and will not be endangered. So it's time that we raise these draconian orders.
Do you think Governor Hogan is enjoying this authoritarian bent that he's on?
Well, you know, I hope not. It sure seems like there's some aspect of a concern in terms of how he responds, because I've been bending over backwards with politeness, reaching out to him. He knows that I stood up. I was one of the only freshmen that stood up and gave a floor speech on his behalf, defending his budgetary powers when the left was attacking that and seeking to remove that this last session. In my committee, the Judiciary Committee, I have fought like a tiger for his policies, and I'm a co-sponsor on almost all of his legislation. So he knows that I have stood with him every time that he's done it right. And for him to just blow me off, as well as most of the caucus, the Republican caucus, in some of these issues, it's downright shocking. And then you hear weird things happening where he's using the National Guard to try to hide tests that are not complete. 500,000 tests from South Korea being hidden somewhere in a warehouse because he's afraid of the feds getting involved and taking them. I'm not sure what that's all about. It's quite odd.
So his people issued a statement today to WBAL. The overwhelming majority of Marylanders don't agree with him and don't know who he is. I assume they're talking about these polls that are sponsored by left-wing media outlets like the Baltimore Sun. Do you believe that the overwhelming majority of Marylanders think that this lockdown should continue?
No, I don't. In fact, there's been some internal polling done that questions that entirely. In fact, it's particularly in the ranks that elected him, the polling data has showed his numbers declining with how he's handled this, whereas Trump's are up at about 96% in the Maryland GOP. So there's a severe question as to how he's handling this, whether these orders are overreaching. You know, what I'm seeing in terms of the response, the responses that I'm getting in my office and such, is quite a number of people, businesses. 50% of Maryland's economy basically are small businesses, 50% of our budget. And, you know, we're seeing them at the brink of totally being destroyed. And everybody knows it. It's a very sincere concern. Some of the people in the plaintiffs, some of the plaintiffs in the suit are Venture Park USA and Antietam Battlefield KOA. I mean, these are places that should not be off limits. I mean, these are great outdoor activities, and here they are on the brink of bankruptcy potentially if these orders continue. They're draconian, and you know, I think, you know, the staff needs to reconsider this quickly and get back on track. And I think the court does and will examine the seriousness of the constitutional issues. In times of pandemic, the Supreme Court has never said that healthy people can be unilaterally quarantined without due process at any time, more or less 34 days and counting.
Well, you know, some of these states, like, for instance, Illinois, and I also believe Massachusetts, have limited the emergency order to 30 days, and now it's beyond 30 days, and the governors are just saying that this is some kind of emergency, quote-unquote. And does Maryland, have a time limit on how long the governor can declare this state of emergency?
Yes, absolutely. The statute here is the same. It's a 30-day statute, and he issued that on March the 5th. So here we are today is at exactly 60 days. And
I would say that's kind of a no-brainer, isn't it, for the judge? You just point out, look what day it is, look what day he issued it. Here's the statute. I mean, that's it, isn't it?
Well, you would think, I think that would be the rational view. But unfortunately, the statute does have a clause that says the governor can extend the emergency order for another 30 days, which Governor Hogan did that. But the statute is very explicit.
So that's out too. So it seems like he has to have the grounds for it.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's interesting you say that. So in other words, this power. that he has imperiously claimed for himself, he's supported more by Democrats than he is by Republicans. Is that what you're saying, you think?
It's exactly true, unfortunately. In the last briefing that we had as a caucus, a GOP caucus, one of his staffers spoke to us as a party, and it was almost unanimous that all Republicans were saying, please listen to our constituents. Our constituents are overwhelmingly asking you to relax these draconian orders, to open the churches, to open the golf courses, to open the Chesapeake Bay, to allow fishing, to allow horseback riding. I mean, this is just ridiculous. The sunshine kills COVID in 90 seconds, and yet we're being locked in our houses. Let's fix this. And at the end of the day, on that briefing, the staffer said, well, the governor has a different constituency. And that was very offensive to our Republican ranks. He was referring to about 60% of America, 67% of Maryland are Democrats. But even in the Democratic ranks, I can assure you, there's a growing number who are very, very concerned about some of these overreaching powers.
He can't run for a third term, can he?
No. No. But, you know, there's the Senate, and I think he went up to New England to test the waters for a presidential run, and I don't think that went too well for him. But,
We'll have a warm welcome ready for him in New Hampshire, I'll tell you. And I don't live in New Hampshire, but I know New Hampshire pretty well. I don't think this is not a popular stand that he would be taking. He'd be another Bill Weld, you might say, if he came up to New Hampshire. Okay, Delegate Cox, thank you so much for being with us, and keep his feet to the fire. He's out of control, just like our governor is. Our governor can run for a third term, and I'll tell you, he's going to have big, big problems if he runs as a Republican in the primary after what he did.
Good. All right.
Thank you very much, Dan Cox, delegate from the state of Maryland, threatened with arrest by the staff of the Republican governor in Maryland. This is not just Democrats. Power corrupts absolutely, and it corrupts absolutely everybody that gets intoxicated. It's really a tough drug to kick, I think, as we're finding out here. Just ask the governor of Oregon. She's extended the lockdown to July 6th. July 6th, they have 100 fatalities, and they're going to be locked up for another 2 months. 844-500-4242. Howie Carr.
He's suave, he's debonair, he's Howie Carr.
This is Jay in Hingham, Massachusetts.
This is Gloria from Haverhill, Mass.
Hi, this is Joe from Howie in the Hills, Florida. And this is the Howie Carr Show.
You know, the irony is that these people like Baker and Hogan are trying to suck up to these dying liberal rags. In Baker's case, the Boston Globe, which is hemorrhaging money. And same with the Baltimore Sun in Maryland, which is trying to sell itself to a nonprofit. It's already unprofitable, but now it wants to become a nonprofit. And down here in Florida, where I am, you got the Miami Herald kicking the bleep out of Governor DeSantis for trying to reopen the state. The Miami Herald belongs to a corporation that already has filed for bankruptcy. They're ahead of the Sun and the Globe. They're already in bankruptcy. 844-500-4242. Steve from Cambridge, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Steve. You there? Guess not. Rocky, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Rocky.
Hey, Howie, thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
Hey, is Joe Biden, is that all just the front, or is he not messed up, you think?
Come on, Rocky. What do you think? Norm Crosby ain't coming through that door. You know, he puts Norm Crosby to shame.
Hey, you know what's scaring me, Howie? Is this is all? They're just going to step over him if he gets in, and you know it as well as I do, they're setting up Cankles or one of these other losers to take over the country. You know that, obviously.
I know. I just can't believe, though, that they think they can prop him up. This is, you know, somebody, there was a column today on the internet, and the headline was Weekend at Biden's, meaning, you know, like the movie Weekend at Bernie's. I mean, that's what we got here is going on, is a Weekend at Bernie's moment with Biden. And I don't think they can pull it off for another 6 months. The election's still 6 months away. They're going to have to do something. I don't know what. That's my prediction. I can't say with certainty, but I can't see him surviving politically. Thanks for the call, Rocky. Tim, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Tim.
Hi, Howie. Thanks for having me. Really quickly, my sister's father-in-law just passed away. He had stomach pains a couple of weeks ago. They became progressively worse. The doctor said, well, you know, just see how it goes, because if you go to one of the hospitals, you could have a problem. He's in his 70s. The pain became worse. He told his wife the other day to call 911. They rushed him to the hospital. He had septic in his system. It attacked his organs. He had a heart attack. He passed away the other day. The point of this story is it's sort of an unwarranted death in a way, because everyone is so worried about this pandemic that you have these other deaths behind the scenes that
right.
were kind of masked or pushed aside. And what is our society doing? We're all worried about who's wearing a mask and who isn't. And it's just an outrage. I'm very upset about it. And I
don't
just
blame
thought
you.
Listeners should know, you know, that there are other things going on besides.
You know, the thing is, they say, you know, they're postponing elective surgery. What does that mean, elective surgery? Your sister's father-in-law, that wasn't elective for him. He's dead, right?
Exactly. It's just tragic. The family is obviously very upset. And this is a national overreaction, in my opinion. And it's hurting a lot of people in other ways.
Yeah. It is. And these politicians like Baker and Hogan are, you know, they're walking around like they're really brave for doing this. And it's just stupid at this point. Thanks for the call, Tim. I'm Howie Carr.